MSDN Radio. Asher Javala. Välkommen till ett nytt avsnitt av MSDN Radio. Idag om Azure, men inte bara Azure generellt utan Azure och Java. Vilket kanske låter för vissa som lite hund och katt, men så är det inte. Utan Java funkar likadan som .NET funkar eller POP funkar på vår molnplattform, den som heter Azure. För att reda ut det här lite så tog jag hjälp av två Java-personer som kan Java och från det som är från ett partnerföretag som vi har som heter Diversify. Och det är Tore Rinsson och det är Björn Ekengren därifrån. Och de båda kommer att prata med en program manager från Redmond som heter Vijay Rajagopalan. Och pratade om vad är det för någonting Microsoft tänker på när det gäller just Java och Azure. Och efter det tänkte jag prata med en annan person från Diversify, Magnus Mårtensson, om deras samarbete med Neo Technologies att få deras grafdatabas Neo4j att fungera i Azure, vilket den gör just nu och det har kommit ut en pressrelease på det. Men innan det så skulle jag vilja göra lite reklam för en Azure-konferens som är nästa vecka, den 3 mars. Och det är en Azure-konferens som Jayway har tillsammans med oss i Malmö. Det är bland annat jag och Robert Folkesson, Henrik Fält och Peter från Lyschow kommer att prata om Azure mer generellt. Det här är inte specifikt Java men mer generellt. Så att det är den 3 mars och det finns en länk i texten som medföljer den här MSDN Radio så ni kan se hur ni skulle anmäla till det. Så kommer ihåg där den 3 mars. Men då går vi över till de här två intervjuerna. Först en intervju med Vijay från Redmond tillsammans med Eje och Björn från Diversify. Och sen en liten diskussion om Neo4j med Magnus också från Diversify.
I have been with Microsoft for about 12 to 13 years and I have worked in different capacities, in different product units, architect in Visual Studio, and I was a program manager driving the Visual Studio's extensibility as well. I started off my career as a software design engineer and moved on to play different roles. And I've always been passionate about software as a service and ecosystem development, and so that was one of the reasons why I was driving the extensibility to empower the ecosystem around Visual Studio to write add-ins and use Visual Studio as a foundation tool for their domain-specific needs. And back in 2007, John Pauly, who's one of the co-creator of XML and he's a general manager of the XML and architecture, he spun off a new group to focus on interoperability strategy for the company. And of course, it was a startup group, and he pinged me to see if I would be interested. And then I joined the team as one of the founding members back in 2007. And since then, I had worked on a number of strategic initiatives for Microsoft on different areas, making sure Microsoft technologies work well with open source technologies, non-Microsoft technologies, and enabling non-Microsoft technologies to work better on the Windows platform and the Windows Server platform. So that was one of the reasons why a couple of years back I was when we launched the cloud platform, Windows Azure. When we launched it, we also have good Java support through App Fabric, and eventually we had great tooling for other languages and created bindings from an SDK perspective, have a very good end-to-end story for developers who have heterogeneous language skills like PHP and Java.
Thank you. Should you guys from Diversify also present you to the audience, to the listeners?
Right. Bjorn here. As said, I'm a Java developer guy. I've been doing that for the last 10 years or so. Have unfortunately not been doing too much .NET development. But I just recently started looking at Azure and how to deploy Java in the cloud. And it seems to be really interesting. Although I have had a bit difficulty to getting started, but hopefully I can get help from you guys.
My name is Eje Torarensson. I work here as a manager at Diversify in the development section. I've been working as an architect and developer for the last 20 years or so as well. I was very excited to see your presentation, Vijay, on the PDC, showing not only the possibilities to run Java and PHP as well, non-Microsoft platforms on Azure, but the tooling options as well in Eclipse impressed me a lot.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Vijay, should we start to discuss how Microsoft is working with the Java community and what we have, what kind of support we have for especially Azure now, and maybe what we are planning in the future, if you have anything to add to the current status?
Sure, absolutely. So I want to step back a little bit and I wanted to quickly articulate just to give some context. I know you're familiar with our overall strategy, but I just want to step back a little bit to articulate that from the foundation, the Windows Azure platform is developed with an openness in mind. So all the components of Windows Azure, whether it's the compute or the storage or SQL Azure or the App Fabric platform, can be accessed through web-friendly standards-based protocols. So whether you use Java or PHP or any languages, you could use HTTP or AtomPub or REST or OData or web service to connect to the core platform of Windows Azure. So that's the foundation for us to make sure that our surface area is open and interoperable. Then, we are basically, I will be very open to admit that we are, certainly we are really interested to empower the developer needs in other communities, particularly PHP and Java, but we have a long-term strategy around it. Initially, we said, let's start with creating language bindings for PHP and Java so developers have a speed dial to target Windows Azure Storage or Service Management and also the App Fabric. So that was as part of our overall strategy, we said, let's first tackle this problem, and that essentially ended up in creating open source software development kits for Java, PHP, and Ruby for the Windows Azure platform. This includes the storage SDKs, App Fabric SDKs, and others. Then we said, okay, this essentially is a long road for us, and we said, what are the options for hosting a Java application on Azure? And that's when we seriously looked at, okay, what are the capabilities we need to add at the platform level? What should be added at the SDK level? What should be incorporated in the tooling? So we are coming out with a holistic end-to-end strategy, particularly when it comes to hosting a Java application with a great support at a platform level, which we will be announcing very soon. But what you saw at PDC was tip of the iceberg, some initial thinking around what will be the developer experience for a Java developer. And one of the implementation that I demonstrated was a developer having to set up the server runtime environment will have the choice of picking their favorite Java runtime environment and their favorite app server, and have a consistent tooling experience through open source tooling, particularly through Eclipse or through command line. And these SDKs will automatically come in place together in a nice cohesive way, so you could do application development. So this is essentially our long-term strategy, and certainly we are making very good progress. And over the next quarter, you will see some announcements coming from us, really illustrating the maturity we have today in terms of understanding the developer needs from Java community and what capabilities we will be offering at a platform level, what will come in the form of open source tools and other things as well.
Björn and Eje, what was your first impression when you saw the presentation as a Java developer?
Well, I was impressed that you could actually do it. I thought the Azure was for Microsoft technologies only. And also, comparing to other cloud offerings from Google and Amazon, I like the Azure being sort of similar to other environments, not so specialized. You could actually port something to the Azure cloud without too much modification, as it seems. Then it also seemed to be kind of early stage in the tooling and SDKs, which I guess it is as well. And also looking at the instructions to on how to get started, it seems to be you could do some improvements there.
Okay. Definitely, we appreciate your feedback here. As I mentioned, it is definitely, I would say that early stages of our vision. As I mentioned, we are going to be unveiling the overall holistic plan. The way I would characterize this is that the Java support on Windows Azure will manifest in three different forms. One, at a platform level, the capabilities that you can expect Windows Azure platform to have. This includes support for your choice of JRE and App Server, supported for data persistence through our commitment around JDBC and OData client SDKs for Java developers. This is at the foundation level. You shouldn't be worrying about all the plumbing. And you are a Java developer, it should be much, much easier, and the platform should give you the capabilities so that you can focus on your domain. So that's the fundamental first piece I wanted to articulate. Then the second piece is essentially the speed dials, the SDKs, and the code blocks that help you to access the Windows Azure building blocks, whether it's storage or service management or SQL Azure or the App Fabric, how easy it is to plug your code to take advantage of new functionalities to write your application to scale. How do I use the new cloud patterns to scale out your Java application without making changes to your core application? So you will continue to bring your existing Java skills, but there will be new functionalities that will nicely blend into your application lifecycle to elevate and make your application more sophisticated. And the third piece is essentially the tools and the deployment simplicity and the command line based tools that will allow you to have heterogeneous tooling technologies to write applications. And here again, our strategy is extremely open, and we've already disclosed our commitment to Eclipse as one of the channel to really reach out to the Java developers, as majority of the Java developers seems to use Eclipse as their favorite IDE. So we'll continue to collaborate with the Eclipse Foundation and also work with the Eclipse community to implement a really compelling experience writing modern cloud applications targeting Windows Azure platform in Java.
Right. So Vijay, would you say that the Java focus at Microsoft will accelerate from now, because you've been doing it for a year or so, and it seems like you have a lot down the pipe.
Absolutely.
So your engagement will increase.
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned, I think one of the big thing I wanted to articulate is the emphasis at a platform level we will be looking at. I think that is a update I would like to give, and you'll see more details in the near future. So that's how I would think about it. 1 year back, our approach was mostly at the SDK level, writing language bindings for Java. That's how we started. Then we are now looking at the problem holistically. A, platform level support. B, the SDKs that Java developers need to have. Three, and of course the tools. And of course we are not going to be committed to the ecosystem of Java developers. We will be participating in a number of Java community events as well, conferences and community events. As a matter of fact, I have a session at EclipseCon. Hopefully at that time we will have a much clearer direction to tell in terms of how all these constituents come together.
So it's a rather bad time to have an interview with you now, then, Vijay.
No, I think it's a good time. I think I'm glad we really appreciate your insight and input and commitment behind our cloud platform. But I wanted to be very transparent to tell you where we are today. And I think this, since it's a very complicated, as well as there are a number of moving parts. All of them need to come together. Only then we'll have a great story. And I think we have the intent. We showed sort of the high level perspective of how we are thinking from a tooling standpoint. Now that we have serious commitment from a platform standpoint, you can see how we are approaching this problem further as well.
As you, as Java guys, what's your opinion about Azure, and maybe compare it with other cloud platforms if you have any experience with them?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, compared to App Engine from Google, Azure requires much less transformation if you have an application already developed. There's not so much specialized solutions. I haven't looked at so much at Amazon, but that seems to be a little bit more similar. The available documentation and the size of the crowd actually doing Java development in Azure seems to be pretty small, as far as I could have seen. So I guess that would increase when new things are coming out and such. But is it possible, if you set up, say, a GlassFish environment in Azure, could you clone that environment to another instance?
Yes.
Right. So we could sort of do it already.
Yeah. So how would you scale it out? I mean, that's a value proposition of Azure, right? So, you know, if you wanted to, those imaging problems are the ones that we are discussing right now. How do you scale it, and what happens when you when you have multiple instances? How do you bootstrap your VM? And those are some of the hard issues that we are trying to understand. And I think I just want you to realize that we are in this game for long term. I think there will be some certain implementation that may not come in the very first release, but we will have a roadmap of how we will be approaching this problem. But you're absolutely right. These are the problems we are already looking at right now.
Vijay, what's the hardest problem to overcome to make Java and open source frameworks written in Java to work on Azure? What's the main problems that you're facing?
I think in Java, one of the fundamental challenge we are facing is the fragmentation of Java and the number of the permutation combination of the number of app servers and the Java runtime versions that we need to figure out, and what are the most common ones that customers care about, and focusing right on that is one of the areas where we are focused. I think that is I would say the big difference. If you look at any other frameworks like PHP, there is one single PHP core runtime, and you focus on that and you make sure that is optimized well for the Windows Server platform. So that's a first problem. And also the developer experience, as you based on our interactions with the core Java developers, there are you know, there are the different stacks that they care about. So that puts us from a scope standpoint. What are the top priorities we need to attack? So these I would say are the problem. And also when you look at Java, you also need to not generally look from a language and framework standpoint, but also from a use case standpoint. What are the types of application Java developers are writing, and what is the value proposition for writing modern Java application, taking advantage of the cloud scale? What are the use cases look like? Like, for example, if whether it's a web payload of Java applications or the server payload of Java application. So we are also very careful to think about the different use cases that we need to incorporate as part of the developer experience.
Actually, just a specific question here to you, Vijay, but do you have any documentation that's not available on the web regarding setting up Java and Azure?
So based on the current 1.3 SDK, I think as I mentioned in my PDC talk, I explained what are the different ways of bootstrapping Java on Azure, right? I think it's publicly documented on the web also. That's in the current implementation, these are the ways. Option one is using the custom Windows Azure Worker role model that I explained. So basically, you know, include your JRE and app server of your choice, and provide your app code and of course in the role startup, in the worker role, set up the bootstrapping, like setting up the ports and the file locations and your data persistence, and start the Java. I think this is a way the Tomcat Solutions Accelerator also works at a high level. The other options, of course, with the introduction of the admin access, you can have startup scripts to perform a short unattended setup for your at the role startup. So, if you pre-image your JRE and app server into a blob store, you can run a short startup script that will bootstrap your Java environment as well. And the third option is, of course, the VM based model where using the VM role you have complete access. You can terminal server into the VM and install your favorite choice of JRE and app server. So these are the three current options available, and I think there are also pretty good documentations around each one of them in terms of how to set up a Java environment.
Where do we find the documentation? What's the best link to that?
Yeah, so the best link to that is, I would say, improbbridges.com is one location. The other location is windowsazure.com/interop. There you will see the accelerators and the documentations there as well.
Right, yeah, I think we found those, I think. also, I looked a bit in the forums on MSDN. Haven't been much activity in the SourceForge.
Good point. I think you're making a good point. In SourceForge, we've released the open source Java SDK, and I think one of the reason why there has been a lot of activities that the last milestone was around December of 20th. This is when we had an updated release of the Java SDK, which has functionalities on par with the storage SDK of Windows Azure's storage APIs. And also we've incorporated service management functionalities and service runtime. So it's pretty up to date, and we see a lot of good download numbers for that. But again, as I mentioned, we are planning for the next phase of the Java SDK, aligning with the next version of the Windows Azure SDK also. So you'll see more traction in the very near future.
That's great. Is it in your plan somewhere to create a development environment for Java and Azure that do not require Microsoft Windows on the development platform?
Good question. We are exploring all these things. We exactly know what you were asking, and particularly, you know, some of the command line tools like the CSPAC, CSRun, CSUtil that are bound to the Windows Azure SDK, or essentially we are looking at how we can open it up and what will be the experience from a non-Windows platform from a developer angle. I don't have any update at this stage. I will certainly be rest assured you can be assured that we are seriously looking into this as well.
As you know, we have for Team Foundation Server, we have now clients for Mac OS and for Linux and so on. So maybe we should do the same thing for Windows Azure also.
Nice.
I hope so, but I don't have the data to tell you and the direction. But certainly, let's touch base in a month or two from now. I will clearly tell you the directions we are taking.
I have a question as well, not concerning Java as much as the database support. If you would have, say, an application server installed that uses a Microsoft SQL Server as a relational database, is that because the installation and the configuration of the SQL Server that you have installed in Azure is a bit different from the conventional SQL Server setup?
Correct.
Is it possible to use a traditional relational database management system in SQL Server as well?
You can, but I again, from an architectural standpoint, you need to remember that SQL Azure, the version that we have on Azure, is essentially your multi-tenanted scale-out database, really built for scale on the cloud and taking advantage of the core Windows Azure platform capabilities. Mm-hmm. So depending on the architecture, unless there are very strong reasons why you would want a traditional on-premise SQL Server, I don't know why you wouldn't consider SQL Azure as an option. So
I think we would. The question is, if you are doing a transformation from a traditional platform to a cloud platform, and you would like to use the database as is for a foreseeable future, maybe.
Yes.
And so you would then go over to using the SQL Azure alternative instead.
Right. So we are already having some great migration tools between the traditional SQL Server to SQL Azure. But if you decide to continue to leverage the existing one, the options are through the VM role. So essentially, you will have SQL Server running on your VM, running on Windows Azure platform. Again, as I said, it is a very strong architectural debate architectural decision you will make. Essentially, you are moving away from the key value proposition of Azure, which is a platform as a service that enables you to not worry about the fundamental plumbing and enables you to focus on your core domain. And you want to run your application as an infrastructure as a service in a VM-based model using traditional SQL Server, managing all the things. You will be responsible for managing the SQL Server's health and all those things. So I think if your application requires such an architecture, yes, you have the option of doing that. But I'm just saying that you better have a super strong reason why you want to go in that route.
Of course, yes.
Good. I want to thank you all, VJ from Redmond and Eje and Björn from Diversify here in Sweden, that you took the time on the Friday in our time evening and in your time a morning. Thank you very much for this little chat.
Thank you very much.
Thank
and good luck with the with all the improvements that you're making with the Azure platform and Java.
Jag har en annan kille från Diversify med mig, Magnus Mårtensson, som ni naturligtvis har känt från ett annat företag. Men det är inte det vi ska diskutera, utan vi ska diskutera att ett företag som heter Neo Technologies tillsammans med Diversify släppte en pressrelease förra veckan om att Neo4j finns för Windows Azure. Och jag tänkte fråga Magnus, vad är Neo4j och hur har det implementerats i Azure? Så välkommen hit, Magnus.
Tack ska du ha för det, Dag.
Och vad är det Neo4j? Det är ju ingenting som man har hört talas om när man har sprungit runt i .NET-världen, eller hur?
Nej, precis. Alltså, Neo4j är en open source grafdatabas som då finns att ladda ner och leka med och köra med. Och det som är spännande med en grafdatabas just är att den till skillnad från en relationsdatabas har byggt upp sin interna struktur i form av noder och bågar. Så man kommer ihåg sin grafteori från skolan när man gjorde sin utbildning, så kan det finnas mycket spännande tillämpningar på det. Bland annat det uppenbara exemplet är att man kör sociala nätverk, vem känner vem och så vidare, där noderna är personer och bågarna är relationer.
Men det är inte det samma sak som en hierarkisk databas?
Inte riktigt. En grafdatabas är helt optimerad för att göra den här typen av saker. Den kan göra just såna här saker som nätverksgrejer, alltså även till exempel vägar och vägkrökar helt enkelt. Den typen av traveling salesman problem och annan grafteori, det kan den göra så himla mycket snabbare än sina konkurrenter, för det är liksom helt enkelt optimerat för den typen av problem.
Jag är ingen expert på graf. Jag tror inte det fanns ens på min tid när jag gick i skolan, men jag tror att jag förstår. Den här Neo4j har ändå funnits då i Java-världen under en längre tid som en av de kända grafdatabaserna, eller hur?
Det finns ju inte så många. Det är väl kanske inte lönt att sitta och räkna upp vilka som finns här, men just Neo4j har ju ett J i namnet, så det är ju en Java-produkt helt enkelt och byggt med Java-teknologi. Så, och det är, vad jag förstår, en av de absolut vassaste som finns att tillgå idag. Det, som sagt, det finns inte jättemånga heller.
Är det inom den här rörelsen som heter NoSQL som de här databaserna poppas upp?
Precis, och det som är relevant att säga vad det gäller just NoSQL är att det betyder Not Only SQL. Det vill säga att det inte bara relationsdatabasmodell eller datalagringsmodellen som är kanske relevant för att lösa alla typer av problem, utan för vissa specifika andra problemställningar så kan man behöva ta till ett annat verktyg. Och då finns där bland annat grafdatabas, och det finns ju även som key value stores och big tables och lite andra alternativ som var och en är inte relationsdatabaser. Så att säga, not only.
Vad gjorde då att, jag förstår att ni har en relation, för jag för mig att Neo Technologies finns bland annat i Malmö, men vad gjorde att det här företaget var intresserad av att prova Azure?
Ja, det blir ju en efterfrågansgrej. Naturligtvis vill ju Neo som är Java-baserat företag jättegärna också vill nå ut till .NET-världen och .NET-utvecklare. Så att i grunden är det ju någonting som intresserar dem väldigt. Och sen så är det klart, kan man då hitta något riktigt projekt, ett projekt som är lite hemligt, jag inte kan prata så mycket om, men om man kan hitta ett riktigt, riktigt projekt att köra det här på, där man kan kombinera de här sakerna som vi försöker göra, just Windows Azure och Neo4j, och liksom bygga upp någonting som är på riktigt, då blir det verkligen spännande. Och det är dit vi har kommit nu, och då är ju klart Neo jätteintresserade av det, såklart.
Men finns det någon mer konkret fördel framför man ska köra på Azure i förhållande till andra miljöer som den här applikationen kör sig idag?
Jag kan tänka mig skalningsfördelarna är den klassiska fördelen, just att man skalar ut på stora databaser och skalar ut med många instanser. Vi håller på att titta på det nu, hur vi ska kunna sköta just utskalning med en, det blir ju en kan man säga en command and query separation principen där, att man har en read eller en write master och ett gäng med read slaves som man kan skala ut, att alla queries som oftast är det ju så att man ställer jättemycket reads till en databas, oavsett om det är Neo4j eller om det är en relationsdatabas. Men antalet writes är betydligt färre. Och då kan man ofta använda det mönstret att man har en write master och sen så har du read slaves som inte kan skriva, utan de kan bara läsa på kopior.
Det var intressant att höra lite mer tekniskt. Hur har man implementerat det? Jag antar också att när det är Java, då kör man också på en speciell Java-motor och såna här saker. Kan du beskriva det för mig som inte är Java-utvecklare?
För att få det här att köra, för att få Neo4j att köra på en Windows-server, så måste man helt enkelt ha en Java runtime att tillgå som helt enkelt är motorn för att köra det här. Och sen så, när man har det, så det är som att ha en en CLR fast för Java liksom. Och då pekar man ut var den ligger någonstans, man deployar den till sin Windows server, pekar ut var den finns och sen så alltså talar om det för Neo4j-servern och så startar man Neo4j-servern och då kan den köra på en Windows-maskin.
Och vad är det för vet du vad det är för appen liksom som kör den här Java eller är det någon speciell de har för att...
Nej, alltså det är ju det de kör, det som är det sättet på vilket man exekverar någonting som är gjort i Java på Windows-miljö, det är ju att man laddar ner en så kallad JRE. Och det är Oracle numera som äger de där prylarna. Och sen så alltså använder man det som...
Det jag tänkte på var mer när man jobbar med webbapplikationer i Java så har man ju också en motor som Tomcat eller JBoss eller någonting som liksom hostar sajterna. Det var det jag var ute efter. Okay. Men det kanske inte finns någonting i Neo4j.
Jo, alltså Neo4j, det är inte riktigt samma sak. Vi har ingen webb... server eller webbsite eller liknande motsvarande när vi kör Neo4j, för det behövs inte. Det enda vi behöver göra är att öppna en port och lyssna på den. Däremot om man vill köra kompetenta enterprise-nivå Java-applikationer och Java-webbsajter på Windows Azure så går det också jättebra. Då kan man bland annat använda sig av Glassfish som, om jag har förstått saken rätt, är ungefär jämförbart med våran IIS.
Så ja, varför jag frågar också, för när jag ser den här Neo4j så brukar man ju se ett webbgränssnitt som där man ställer frågor och sånt, och jag trodde det ingick i det här, men det är någonting, en produkt på då kan man säga, som vår SQL Enterprise Manager eller något sånt.
Alltså det är väldigt enkelt, därför att Neo lyssnar bara på en port och sen på den porten så pratar den liksom, man kan anropa den med HTTP och den pratar REST, och på det så kan du bara lägga på ett utseende där, så det finns en webb-dashboard och så vidare. Men det normala sättet är bara att göra restbaserade queries.
Men Neo Technologies levererar också en sån här dashboard så att man kan liksom jobba mot det. Man får ett användargränssnitt helt enkelt också.
Ja, precis. Mm. Man kan titta på den här om man vill titta på den vi har uppe. Det finns ju en åtminstone skrivande stund eller talande stund här så finns det ju en ute på Azure som ligger på neo4j. cloudapp.net. Då ligger det en riktig Neo4j grafdatabas körande i Azure.
Är det här Neo4j open source, eller hur tar man betalt?
Ja, det är det. Det är open source, och sen så finns det väl någon form av
serviceavtal
eller? Någon form av enterprise-licensgreja inbakat i det. Jag är faktiskt inte helt införstådd med hur de har tar betalt för sin produkt, men i grunden kan du få en väldigt kraftfull sak som rent open source. Det heter ju neo4j.org där de ligger.
Tack så mycket Magnus. Jag ska också länka in till er pressrelease som du gjorde tillsammans med Neo Technologies Peter.
Där så kan man läsa detaljerna kring det här. Om man säger så, vi pratade kanske inte jättemycket nu om just Windows Azure-versionen av det här, men det gör ingenting, därför att det är väldigt rättframt där man kan ladda ner en solution och titta på själv hur det där fungerar.
Tack så mycket Magnus.
Tack så mycket.